It's 12:29. This meeting is back in session. Up next, we have item number 12. This is discussion only. No action will be taken. We are at item number 11. This is discussion. No action will be taken. Eric Schoen, Executive Director of Community Chess Incorporated, will present to the agency the 2021 annual report. Is that a typo?
Yep. No, that's correct. No, that's correct. It's for 2021.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Eric, you have the floor.
All right. Excellent. Good afternoon, everybody. So what you have in front of you, I have three different documents. One you should have already as part of your county package, which is the annual report for 2021, which I'll go into in just a minute. We also have the community needs assessment, which we do every 3 years. I'll talk about that afterwards. And then I will reference our 30-year report because we're now in our 31st year. This came out last fall, summer. I think this was mailed to several of you, so you may have seen a copy. Or maybe you've only seen a PDF, or maybe you haven't. So this might be the first time you've seen it. But so my fantasy, I was thinking about my fantasy of what would be what I could say when I come up, which is to say, we've seen demand for all of our services go down. We're seeing people not need to utilize, because we need to start looking at all the things we provide, food services, primary health care, mental health supports. It would be nice to think that the need has lessened. And it would be nice to think that that's because people are finding healthy coping mechanisms and finding the resources they need to be self-sufficient or together with others to have lives of quality, and they don't maybe need as much assistance. Sadly, that's not the story this year, especially with COVID. I don't know when that's going to be the story. Maybe before I retire, I'll be able to start off with that. But with COVID, we've seen everything escalate. Exponentially in some cases. I think the largest increase that really dropped my jaw was an increase in domestic violence sessions that we've seen from 1,000 to 2,000 over 1 year. That's 100% increase. And the year before that, uptick to 1,000 was a big jump. So in 2 years, it's more than 200% that we've increased for a lot of these programs. Our counseling numbers have seen numbers increase dramatically. The library. You wouldn't think about the library maybe would get that much use because so much of our time was virtual, but even library card holders are increasing. So the first year, I think we went from 130 of COVID, we went from 138 to 177. Last year, we went from 177 to 194 card holders. That's with the library mostly closed. I think it's because people are looking for options. They're using the virtual options. They're using the virtual books. Whatever they can to sort of make the homestay a little bit more interesting. And it doesn't cost them anything. So it's been great that they've used that resource. The good news is we are slowly reopening. So I should say everything's open. It kind of is episodic depending on when we have a flare up like Omicron, we have to go into lockdown again. But we're almost all across the board, all the way open. We still provide a lot of our services virtually. We've seen our primary health care facility increase in the number of patients, over 400 for the first time ever. Our early childhood education center, which is part of our community center, continues to run at max capacity for the restricted COVID capacity, which is 18 to 20. Since that's lifted, we are looking at increasing that by another 10 and the reason for that, so many early childhood education providers shuttered their doors. So now parents are desperate. They're looking for any place that they can come to bring their kids. We have a wait list of probably at least 10 kids. The only thing that's holding that up at this point in time is hiring the additional staff so that we can maintain the ratio. We are in fact looking at, I'm not making any guarantees yet because we still have to talk to state licensing to make sure this would work, but our original building there on Toll Road, the three-story Victorian pink house that we call the pink house, that bottom story that used to be the thrift store, we're looking at converting that into an infant care center because we've had a number of new parents of kiddos between the ages of 6 months and 2 years have nowhere to take their kiddos. And we have probably between 6 and 8, if we could open that thing up tomorrow, we could probably have 6 to 8 kiddos who would use that on a regular basis. So early childhood education doesn't seem that important, maybe in the context of water, which is really important, and then also talking about Vanessa's position. All of those are equally important. This is like another channel on the dial. Early childhood education matters as well. And so it affects whether or not parents can go to work. It affects whether or not they get a break and they have some sense of sort of, you know, mindfulness where they can have some balance in their lives. So we've seen all of those services increase. Our food service, our food closet has continued every holiday season now to serve over 200 people, which is crazy to me because we have the senior center that's doing such a great job of providing food for most of the county. And we still are seeing those numbers at a high level at this point in time. Our Angel Tree program at 150 people, just like the year before, which are both all-time highs for people needing assistance with warm clothing items. So really the story of this report is that none of our services have seen a decrease. They've only seen an increase in need and severity of what people are needing and asking for. Do you have any questions about the year in review for 2021? No?
I don't.
All right. So as part of the year of 2021, every 3 years, we update this community needs assessment. What it does is it looks at 8 different domains. I have to pull them open so they can remember what they are. They are child care, early childhood education, housing, transportation, primary health care, food nutrition, health insurance, education, and employment. And what we do is we convene focus groups of stakeholders and residents. So we did 4 focus groups. We did one in Mark Twain, scheduled one in Mark Twain, nobody showed. One in the Highlands, we had one person show. Then in Virginia City and as well as Lockwood. So we have focus groups as well as we had an online survey for those people that were able to fill the survey out online. And we have paper surveys at the senior centers for people who wanted to take the survey in paper. We got the most participation we've ever had, which is still to say we could use a lot more. I think we were over 40, but not as high as 50, which, believe it or not, the previous report only had the benefit of input from 30 people. So we're increasing, we're going in the right direction. Love to see that number double. We got some ideas for maybe going door to door the next time we do this, especially in Mark Twain. But once we boil down all the numbers, what I really want to bring your attention to is the list on page 17, which is towards the back, where we did a crosswalk of the priority rankings for the different domain areas. And you're not going to be surprised. At the top of the list is affordable housing. We've been hearing that drumbeat for a long, long time. I know we're still trying to wrap our heads around how exactly to make that happen. But affordable housing, not only is it sort of the obvious, trying to find a house, even to rent, or an apartment, even to rent or to buy. Once somebody is in a situation where they're renting, if rent goes up, it means they have less money for childcare. It means they have less money for food. And so we're seeing a higher percentage of people's income than is probably healthy, because it means they have to rob Peter to pay Paul, essentially, in terms of priorities within their families. It makes it harder for them to afford the other necessities within their household. So right behind it, early childhood education, childcare, that was at the top of the list 3 years ago, which helped us to get this early childhood education center built, but it's still up there. Especially with the pandemic and the number of providers evaporating, still very much up there. And then thirdly, food and nutrition. And then you can see primary healthcare and transportation. But those top three, I try to keep those in my head so that I know what is really impacting people: affordable housing, childcare, and food and nutrition. Those were the top needs that came out of the survey this time around. Yeah.
So without opening up a can of worms, affordable housing. Is rental assistance not a better solution as opposed to looking at maybe affordable housing? If we could save this for a different discussion, but just something I've been thinking about regarding that issue.
Yeah, so I'm not proposing any potential solutions or if one thing ought to be considered over another, just highlighting that people are saying the affordability of my rent or my mortgage or even finding something has become really difficult. I think that's an interesting conversation because I think it has implications, right, for sort of affecting the market and kind of how you get there. Do you use public dollars? And that's one way to use public dollars. Yeah.
Right. I mean, the housing issue is a,
yeah.
If you talk to realtors, I mean, we're going to have a serious issue here shortly.
You know? Yeah, I think we're already,
we're there, yeah. But it's going to get worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but so anyway, I apologize to interrupt you.
No, I think these are the kinds of conversations we probably need to be having and trying to get in front of for sure. If I had a magic wand and we could solve it, that'd be fantastic. But it's just, you know, at least a decade of underbuilding for sure since the recession, and then compounded with other factors.
Yeah. You know, Eric, it's interesting. This is a sidebar and somewhat off the subject, but we all chat about and hear about affordable housing constantly. Mm-hmm. Everything that's going on in every community, everybody's concerned about affordable housing. And I think who's responsible for the cost of affordable housing, and how in the world do we change it? Where do we attack? And so 35% or more of the cost of a home or apartment build is community regulations. Regulations that come out of the community building department, et cetera. And then you have the cost of all the goods that it takes to build a place, right? And inflation is taking that into the stratosphere. And so the cost of goods and community requirements are absolutely opposed to affordable housing. It's really perplexing on what the answer is to bring something like that to the market.
Well, and when I've talked to developers here locally, like, so if we were to waive whatever fees we could at the county level, would that help you to build affordable housing? They're like, that doesn't even touch it, because it's the cost of building right now is so high just to acquire the goods and then to have the labor there. They can't make a pencil for affordable housing. It has to be, you know, the branded as the luxury housing units with the higher rents to
well, and I think the communities have to look at regulatory environment, because the regulatory environment is driving all of us over the cliff.
Yeah. It's a big conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's funny because I've been looking at, is there a way to public-private partnership where potentially we're taking the cost of land out of that equation? In other words, providing land for the building to happen in some way. And I don't know if even that allows projects to pencil or get to where they should be on a percentage of income paid for your housing that makes people affordable. That's a downright socialist idea almost. I mean,
I don't mean to speak for Stacy, and if she's still on the call, then Stacy, if I get any of us wrong, please put this out there. But she's talked, shared several stories of seniors on fixed incomes who are getting priced out of their homes because a new landlord buys the property and then they have the right to do whatever they want with that property, but they increase rents. So people who have heretofore been able to live in Story County at an affordable rate no longer can find it affordable or can find an affordable rate. So we've had several seniors who've been people on fixed incomes who are very much affected by this. To your questions, who's responsible for this? That is a really large conversation to have. And how do we, as a community, get to where we're trying to take care of everybody as best we can in the way that's maybe the most fair for everybody? And yeah, it's a big topic for sure. Yeah.
Probably should have left it out of your update.
So last, if there's no other comments, just wanted to bring you your attention to the 30-year report. This was a labor of love to put together. You know, when we first started, when Sean Dev first started this back in 91, they were renting a room in the jeweler's building as you come in up top, and they had a donated desk, and they had a grant for $20,000 or $50,000 to help provide homeless youth education throughout the state of Nevada. And they didn't have grand visions for what this would become. They had two sons who were both very young at that point in time, and they wanted to make sure that their sons had the opportunity to have the things they needed to thrive, and their friends had the opportunity to have those things that they needed to thrive. And so from that very small, inauspicious start, here we are 30 years later with a staff of almost 50 people, with dozens of different programs, over 30 different funding streams, not only in Story County, but also in Lyon and Mineral counties as well. And, you know, I used to think, I was hoping that I could sort of, one of the indicators of success for me in my career would be that we would see, like I said, a lessening of demand for services. I don't know that that's going to happen on my watch. I think this is a longer term arc, moral arc to the universe. But anyway, I think this is a sort of a celebration of the work, what's possible when we come together and we join hands and pull in the same direction. So if you guys have any questions, you want to follow up with me on any of this stuff later, feel free. Yeah. Any other questions or thoughts or comments? Yeah.
My first question is, what else can we do to help?
As commissioners?
As commissioners or individuals or?
Well, it's a good question. One of the things that I really appreciate from the commissioners and the county manager, we feel as an agency very much supported by all of you. We don't feel as though our work comes in second or third place. It's equally important alongside the work that the sheriff does or the fire department does. It's all part of having a healthy, vibrant community. So I appreciate that you guys share that perspective and you support and you entertain. Like when we have our budget proposals, you don't just sort of laugh those off, you know, off your desk. You actually seriously consider those. We try to only, when we are asking for increases, only do that when it's absolutely necessary and only sporadically if we can help it. So that support has been very, very valuable. I think support also for the programs that we have, helping to elevate and talk about these priorities that we just talked about. Early childhood education is a priority, affordable housing, whether or not we have the solutions, affordable housing is a priority, making sure people aren't food insecure, that's important as well. So I think just sort of talking about that and helping people understand that we need to pay attention to those. More broadly, I would hope everybody would have the same awareness that these services are as necessary. Having a healthy functioning library, having a place where kids can go before and after school and parents don't have to worry about it, that's as important as having good roads, as having clean water from Marlette Lake. That's what I would hope we would sort of come to a common agreement on.
Cool. Yeah. My second question is, you know, what are your constraints? What are your biggest constraints to either providing more effective services or broader? I don't know, as you've been saying, I don't know if the goal is to give more services.
Yeah, right.
I mean, if they're needed, of course, but right. we don't want to have to give more services. But what are the constraints? What are the biggest things that are holding you back from being able to do more?
So like anybody, we have a really constrained labor market right now. We're seeing the price of labor really increase dramatically. I think, you know, some of that is really good because we've had historically underpaid professions like our workers in early childhood education. They're now paid on equity with the rest of our organization, which I think is really important because we want good quality people to come into those professions and provide that kind of care. But we're constrained by the same tight labor market. I have had two mental health positions, counselor positions open for 6 months, can't find anybody to fill those. It also affects whether or not I need to find, I mean, just like happens here, if it's a janitorial position or it's in admin or in my finance or business, it's really hard to find somebody right now. And we generally are having to do so with more resources than we had to before, because salaries have to go up and benefits have to keep pace with that. So that's been a challenge, honestly. And then, you know, we're sort of in, you know, every organization is in a particular phase of growth. And so we're kind of moving from where we've been, sort of a smaller mid-sized to more mid-sized, maybe not large yet, but we're having to manage that growth and that learning curve as well. So making room for that capacity internally making sure everybody's on the same page, has the same vision, operationally is coming from the same place. So not unlike any other organization in many respects. Funding, honestly, it's been kind of interesting because 2 years ago when COVID first hit, a number of us saw our lives sort of flash before our eyes. We wondered if funding was going to dry up and this was going to be the end of it. For some industries, it was. Fortunately for us, the PPP loan came through. And then the other stimulus funds have come through. And we're kind of in the middle of this big flush of money coming through the system. The trick, and this is an answer to your question too, another answer, is it's kind of nice here from a money perspective. We haven't had to worry as much, but it's not in what happens afterwards. So managing that in a way that's sustainable, where we just don't fall off a cliff and we have to let a quarter of our workforce go. That's another challenge as well.
Yeah. Well, and economically, big picture, that glut of money, inflation, you know, costs mm-hmm. are going up to match it to some extent, yeah. the needs. I had an idea that we can take offline, but I'm wondering if there's a way, instead of directly expanding the early childhood education, maybe to mentor and help people set up small in-home care operations, which does some economic, job development, mentoring, helping them navigate that so that it accomplishes a couple of things. Anyway, it may be too complex to administer, but it may be something worth looking at because you get potentially multiple benefits as opposed to just expanding your current operation.
And I appreciate any creative thinking like that, because as I tell my staff, we have to constantly be willing to break what we think we know so we can be open to what's coming. So,
yeah,
I appreciate that.
Seems like it may fit some needs for people in the community, allow them to come up a little bit and meet the need for the people that need the childhood education. Anyway, I just thought I'd mention it while I was on the brain, because I'm sure I'll forget. Thank you.
Sure. Anything else?
I would just say keep up the great work. I mean, as somebody who's, I know my daughter's participated quite a bit in your programs when she was here. I know you guys do great work, so just keep it up.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm super passionate about this. I'm super passionate about Story County. I've been here 25 years doing this work. I'm not going anywhere. This matters. It matters as much as anything, as I just said earlier. So it's been my privilege and it's been our honor to do it.
Great.
Should we take public comment? Even though it's not an action item.
It's identified as an action item, but there's no action taken. It can't hurt. I mean,
it's probably safe.
Yeah. Is there any public comment? Anybody would like to speak up on this item? All right. Thank you again, Eric.
Sure. Yeah.
Much appreciated. I thought we were going to calendar it first, but that's the next best thing. All right. Let's move right along to get my agenda back open. Item number 12, this is discussion only. No action will be taken. Discussion by the VCTC Director, Denny Dotson, regarding Virginia City Tourism Commission approval or possible approval to explore possible purchase of a shuttle bus or other transportation not to exceed $105,000. For the purpose of transporting visitors to and from events and sites in Virginia City. Denny Dotson.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. For the record, Denny Dotson, and thank you for this opportunity. This has kind of been a long time coming, Commissioners, and I'm anxious to look to the future here for tourism in Virginia City. As most of you have heard, I've always, our mission statement for the VCTC is to market Virginia City in a way and work with our local stakeholders to create ambassadors. And what that really means is, if we sell Virginia City, but we don't back it up with a good experience, then we don't have happy campers. And part of that, one of the biggest challenges we've had in Virginia City since I've been here, close to over 20 years, is transportation and parking. We have some wonderful improvements over the years with parking. There's more on the way. And I think transportation is the next piece, especially with the added facilities that the county now is and that my department is managing, like the the growth in the fairgrounds, the Freight Depot, which we call the Convention Center, if you will, the Piper's Opera House and the Goldfield Depot. And this is not even in, you know, to mention the challenges of walking just from the train up to C Street or St. Mary's Art Center or, you know, Piper's, the courthouse back down. It's a challenge for a lot of folks. So transportation is something that it's always been kind of a, I guess, a dream, something that we knew was a necessity, but didn't quite know how to get there. And I don't think we're going to have all the answers today, but I believe this is a good start. In January, the VCTC approved $100,000 for us to look at a vehicle. It will be the best vehicle for Virginia City to move people around. Story County has a history of having used smaller vans, used shuttles, stuff that's been donated over the years to us to kind of help move around. It's always been a challenge. There wasn't, you know, the best maintenance with the older vehicles. There wasn't always a body to run those. And so, it really was just a nice to have. But with the added tourism growth that we've seen in the last 10 years, and specifically last year, commissioners, as one of our best years that I've experienced here as a tourism director, we have to address this problem. Just to give you an example, a couple of items at the fairgrounds, we had a couple of large events, and we had to move literally thousands of people. One of them that we didn't plan on was the monster trucks. And had we had a shuttle of some type moving people, it would have been a little easier on not only the participants, but also our residents and our county staff and other departments that were getting flooded with calls. So we did find a vehicle. We've had our master mechanic with the county vet this vehicle. It's a brand new one. It should be in your packet. This is a 24-passenger shuttle. It is not a trolley. This is not going to compete with any local business, if you will. It's not an attraction. Our goal, commissioners, with this is really to have it available in addition to what we've been doing traditionally, with whether we hire a local person, a local shuttle, trolley. The school buses is also another thing that we'll continue to do. We have to have move them more than just, you know, a few people at a time. But when you mix in some of the facilities, you got weddings, you got, conventions. We're looking at NACO this year. Hopefully we'll get back at a couple other conferences this year. This is a vehicle that will be very handy for us to use. This one will require a commercial B driver's license with a P endorsement. We have two staff members that currently have that. We have also a couple other employees who are looking to go B certified. And we're also exploring some other programs for certified Story County volunteers to help us with some of the irregular scheduling that we'll probably see this first year. Again, the VCTC approved this in January, and it was discussed on how we wanted to present it to you. I think it's great that we are. This item is within our not necessarily the line item, specifically a transportation item in our budget, but we did have some money budgeted from the Black and Howe project, our visitor center, in regards to engineering and architecture work that we're not doing this fiscal year. So we have those funds in there that can purchase this vehicle, and our goal would be to pick it up and get it on the street with the debut of Rocky Mountain Oyster Fry. So with that, I would entertain any questions or comments from you and or the public. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Denny. Is there any public comment regarding this item?
Sheriff Antonoro, for the record. I guess my concern on this is that seems like we would be putting the cart before the horse. Over the years, there's been several different events that we've tried to arrange transportation, move vehicles or park vehicles somewhere else and arrange for the transportation to move them around the community and do things. In the end, we still ended up with a cluster as it comes to traffic movement throughout the city. And there was very little engagement with the transportation services that were provided, whether that's parking for motorcycles down at the high school and bringing folks up into town, or any number of things. That's why even the golf cart seems to be a hit and miss venture at any given time. And that's my concern, is we're just, if we don't have the parking component, we're going to continue having people parking everywhere. We've been getting a lot of complaints, especially down around the fairgrounds, of people parking on private property, blocking driveways, things of that nature. Perhaps we ought to try and fix the actual problem first before we add the component of transportation, where people still don't know where to park, or maybe they're going to use the transportation, maybe they're not. I understand the concern that Denny has and wanting to get people moved around and make it a positive adventure for them. But from a public safety standpoint and trying to keep the vehicles moving and back and forth, I don't know that this is going to have any impact at all. It's just going to create more of a problem without the parking component being addressed.
Thank you, Sheriff.
So,
I'm going to chime in here, gentlemen. I've had this discussion with you, and I agree. And that's, I'll be careful how I phrase this, but I would like to get at least the signage regarding parking addressed as quickly as possible, so that our law enforcement officials can actually do something about it. I know you folks aren't on the BCTC, but one of the issues is, there isn't proper signage. So when the sheriff's deputies are out there ticketing, goes over to the justice court, gets thrown out because there's not ample signage, proper signage. So the sheriff does bring up a very valid point, which I think at a later date, or we got to figure out how we can get it resolved, we got to make sure that we have the proper signage out there to make sure that folks are parking where they need to or not parking where they can't, to help address this issue. So thank you for bringing up the parking issue, Sheriff. Is there any other public comment regarding this issue? The fellow commissioners have any comments regarding this?
I have two or three things I've got off the record, perhaps. But with a vehicle of some type, and maybe more than one, we could set parking up further away. And maybe we could concentrate on, right here in town is pretty tough, but maybe we could look further out if we had better transportation. That's the one thought that comes to mind. I agree 100% on the parking. I wanted to let Danny know that I'm looking at this bus, and I don't know if it's new or used, but I have a 16 passenger that I'll give you, that if this works, and I'll donate it to the VCTC. And we used it for a lot of tours at TRI during the sales days. And so you and I might get together and see if you could use that. And the other thing I want to mention is I've always been curious, the air races have a number of trolley type vehicles that they own that they only use for 1 week out of the year. And that the rest of the time they're stored. And they're pulled by farm tractors, which are small and not very expensive. So I've always believed that it'd be worthwhile negotiating with. And I talked to them during the last air races, and they'd be willing to talk to us about allowing us to use those if you like them and they work within our community. And they're people haulers. They're fast. They're kind of like a vehicle that they use in the airport to get around the transportation, but a lot bigger. And they probably haul about 20 or more people, 10 aside. So those are my thoughts today.
Thank you, Commissioner. Vice Chairman, anything?
I just have a couple questions about, kind of an anticipated use. Certainly events make sense, but if there's broader, kind of broader plans, and then kind of dovetailing with that, what kind of potential, partnership with hotel properties and other people in town, and just structure and if who else might be involved in a way that's beneficial on both sides.
Mr. Chairman, I'd love to answer Commissioner Mitchell's question.
Please, please.
Yes, that's an excellent question, and I apologize for not maybe addressing that in my summary. The term you used earlier in today's meeting was a public-private partnership. Clay, you're dead on the money in regards to how we envision this to being used is to partner up with the other stakeholders here in Virginia City. It would be, in essence, a pay-to-play, if you will. You know, say the Silverland, I know, is very interested. Other properties, other attractions, hotels would be interested to help chip in. Maybe put a sponsored logo on the side, and that would be a scheduled stop on those weekends that we run. Our target for now, it's hard to staff some of this. We're looking at multiple venues already being staffed and events coming in, and we're trying to figure this out a little bit to where there is some consistency. But it would be focused heavily on weekends, especially if someone who rents the fairgrounds, they will be actually we'll build that in the back end to cover the cost of the shuttle. So that event promoter who comes in will pay for that in essence, as well as I lost my train of thought there. The bringing folks back up to town or stopping at a location, but it's a special events and heavy volume weekends would be our target market, our target for this first season, and then readdress it and make sure we have the coverage with labor, and then see how that goes and adjust it accordingly. Again, this is just to fill a need that we have in Virginia City. It's not to compete with anybody. We mentioned parking. That's exactly what we do. Is we have we message in like one of the camel races or the Grand Prix. We message everybody to park in the parking lots uptown where the merchants can benefit. If there's an activity at the fairgrounds, here's the free shuttle that's going to take them back and forth. That didn't happen with the monster trucks. We didn't know that. That would have alleviated some of these problems we're talking about. Not all of them, but on that specific event, our parking lots in town were not used because it was an event that started late at night, 7 o'clock. Everybody tried to get as close as they could. Had we worked with the promoter, which we are working with promoters in advance to communicate not only this type of information, but also how we market that and get that messaging out. We're creating landing pages and a toolkit, if you will, for them to know, hey, this is available. This is how we do things. Here's how we communicate with the local public or your attendees. This is the first step, I think, in a very vital piece that we need for Virginia City. And I don't look at it as the cart before the horse at all. We've had the cart for a long time. What now we need the horse to start doing this.
Great. I have just one other question, and that, it appears to me that this is fully within the VCTC's purview, and which is probably why there's no action item for us, no approval or anything. That being said, I just want to make sure I understand implications as far as maintenance goes and anything that does bleed over into our purview.
Yeah, 100%. The budget in regards to the purchase is coming out of the VCTC's separate fund. The fiscal year for this coming year, we have items in there regarding to maintenance, fuel, and also sponsorship. So we're going to put a little bit of revenue in there, hoping that we can find some partners to work with here in town.
Great. Thank you. And I believe there was a public comment in the chat.
Is there a public comment?
In the chat.
Would you like me to read?
There's no way I can read that.
You want me to read it for the on the mics? So Rebecca Clark is the name.
Uh-huh.
Says, I think this shuttle bus is long overdue, and I'm excited to see how it benefits the town during events.
All right. Thank you for the comment. Are both you guys aware why this is on the agenda?
No.
Okay. Essentially, the funds were earmarked for something else. And since they were being used for another purpose, legal felt that it was best that it was brought to our attention, comptroller as well, so that everybody is aware where these funds went and why they were redirected. So there was just a little bit of question as to why, since the VCTC board has already approved this, why are we even hearing this?
I understand.
So that's the reason we're hearing it, why no action is needed. just to let you both know.
And is the entirety of this funding being moved over from Black and Howell Engineering, or is it potentially coming from other places in the VCTC budget?
Commissioner, within our VCTC budget, it was the Black and Howell was budgeted under capital expense. This purchase would be completely out of capital expense.
Great, thank you.
Comptroller McCain, please.
Jennifer McCain, for the record. I was one of the drivers of getting this back on the agenda because, as Chairman said, you guys signed our budget and you signed it for specific items. The Black and Howell budget was approximately $300,000. So there's only a third of it going towards this purchase. I have one concern, which is a small concern, but there's a discrepancy as far as I'm seeing in the amount of money. What's written here is $105,000. My understanding is that the VCTC board approved $100,000 limit. So I would like to know if it's a typo on the Story County agenda, or if you're going back to your board to get the extra $5,000 approved. That's all I
have. Thank you, Jennifer. Yeah, just to clarify, it was a number not to exceed. And we left it at that mainly because we hadn't finalized that price. But as it turns out, are getting a governmental rate, being that it's with a Ford, and we do have Fords in our fleet. So the actual price, I believe, is down around 93,000, 95,000, something like that. The only other additional cost that was included in that motion was travel cost. That's just now that it's a new vehicle and our county master mechanic has had a chance to video and review the specs on that. They won't need to fly down. It's just me. So all we're paying for is a flight. And if I can't get back in time, I'll get a hotel, but that's our only cost, so we're not going to come anywhere near that 100,000.
Is that good?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. With not seeing any other questions, are we good to move on? Thanks, Denny.
Yep.
All right. Moving right along to item number 13, which is going to bring the comptroller right back up here. This discussion for possible action, consideration of possible action directing the comptroller to notify the Nevada Department of Taxation that Story County will not be changing the property tax rate for fiscal year 2022-2023. Comptroller.
Jennifer McCain, for the record. This is basically a housekeeping issue. We have a timeline with the Nevada Department of Taxation where we need to inform them if we are planning any changes. Since I personally have heard no discussion on this, I drafted a letter informing them that we would have no changes. This is seeking your approval on that and directing me to send off that letter. The actual tax rate is set in July, at the beginning of the new year.
Okay. Let's go to public comment. Maybe the public wants us to raise taxes. We'll see. Is there any public comment regarding item number 13 and the property tax rate? Not seeing any public comment. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions or comments?
Just a question. Do you happen to know by chance when the last property tax was increased in Story County? We've been static for how long?
I do not know the answer to that. I'd look to the clerk treasurer if she possibly knows. We've been doing some investigation and kind of having some hard time finding some of these resolutions.
I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah. I've been told it's been a lot of years, which is admirable, but it might be nice to have that out in public because we've maintained that property tax value for a long time. I believe that's true.
That's a very good point. We'll definitely look into that.
That's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Ms. Chairman, any questions?
I don't want to shortchange our comptroller. If we haven't had that discussion, maybe we should have the discussion here about what we want to do with tax rate.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm just sort of see the look of terror on her face.
This meeting hasn't been long enough already. Let's go.
We got all day, right?
True.
We're salary.
Right. No, I don't have any questions.
All right, fair enough. Then if no questions, do you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, hereby approve the comptroller notify the Nevada Department of Taxation of Story County will not be proposing any change
and the property tax rate for the fiscal year 2022-2023.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Moving along to item number 14, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval for the comptroller to sign an engagement letter with Christensen Accounting for the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center public-private partnership audit for the years ending June 30, 2020 and 2021 with a cost not to exceed $25,000. Comptroller?
This is an audit that we should be doing each and every year. We have lagged behind over the last several years. Last year, we completed an audit with Connie Christensen that covered 2017, 18, and 19. These 2 years will bring us up to date. She does have to wait until our official Story County audit is completed. That's why we're just starting this now. She goes through a variety of our revenue streams and a calculation formula that is in the TRI agreement and the ultimate goal is to come up with our annual amounts for the payback of the infrastructure out in the park. This agreement does not stipulate exactly how much the bill will be. That will come at a later date. This is simply for her to get started and see how much work is going to entail in this project. That's all I have.
Thank you, Jennifer. Is there any public comment regarding item number 14 and the audit? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, anything?
Nothing.
Vice Chairman?
I just have one question, and that is, could this audit help us get a decent grasp on what portion of our sales taxes come from TRI versus the rest of the county?
No. This audit will give us an idea of what we presume in an agreement with the TRI folks of what it most likely is, not a definite answer. I was not involved in that agreement, but from what my research and discussing with Austin and Connie, this calculation was created to give us our best guess of what the sales tax out there is.
So the purpose of the audit is to reach an agreeable understanding of a decent estimation of how to divvy up the funds that are coming through or to meet the obligation that we have there?
Correct. And then the second part of that calculation is how much of that sales tax and property tax Story County keeps to keep our wheels turning and make sure the county runs smoothly. And then a percentage of what's left over goes towards that liability.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, if I could just respond to that, I mean, there was a lot of discussion in going through stipulation number four, which was amending the development agreement to figure out how do we get to the sales tax figure, because the Department of Taxation isn't very helpful. And so we have a figure, and it's subject to revision if certain things happen. And so it's kind of a, this is where we're at the moment, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
All right. We've already done public comment. You have any more questions, Vice Chairman? Feel comfortable with making a motion?
Yeah. Hi, Commissioner Mitchell. Move to approve the comptroller to sign the engagement letter with Christensen Accounting for the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center public-private partnership audit for the years June 30th, 2020 and 2021 with a cost not to exceed $25,000.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. Moving right along to item number 15, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible action of grant of easement to NV Energy for utilities within a portion of Southeast Street right-of-way, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, planning case 2022-03. I assume Kathy's taking this?
Yes. Hi, good morning. This is Kathy. Good
morning.
Kathy Camper for the record. So this is a request by NV Energy for an easement in the East Street right-of-way that Story County owns. This is being done because there's a new house being built and they need to extend their electrical service down the street just a bit, and they needed an easement to be able to put their lines in. So this is pretty standard. This is what they've done in some of the other places around town, and staff is recommending approval of this.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Is there any public comment regarding this grant of easement? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, anything?
No questions.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Let's see a motion.
Yeah. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve a grant of easement 2022-03 to NV Energy for the utilities located within a portion of the South E Street right-of-way, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada.
I second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you.
All right. Moving right along to item number 16, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of business license second readings A through E. Is there any public comment regarding the second reading of business licenses? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah. As Commissioner Mitchell, I move to approve the business licenses identified under item 16 as A through E.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Welcome to Story County. Moving right along to item number 17. This is our second and final section of public comment. Is there any public comment today? Not seeing any public comment. We are going to move to item number 18, and this is adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 1:20, and this meeting is adjourned.